Hello and welcome again to Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me as always is Nathan. I am drinking scotch. Nathan, what is the beer of the month, or have you already given up on it?
No, I polished off last month's within like the first week, thanks to podcasting. So one of the favorites from that month is what I'm drinking, the Snooty Quebec Blanche de Chambly.
Wow, that's a slightly too highbrow for this podcast.
That is the truth. If we really want to get into, you know, if people are using this to expand their alcohol horizons, find it. Simply because it is fermented like a nice Prosecco, and it has that really light Prosecco type taste, but it's still beer. So
fancy. Yeah, I'm drinking 15-year-old Glenfiddich. It's good. It's scotch. It's smooth. It's not very peaty. If you like scotch, Glenfiddich tends to be the go-to scotch for a lot of people. Glenfiddich at glenfiddich.com. No, whatever, man.
See, we should, if we did want to actually try to make money off this, we should go to like alcohol producers.
Well, somebody was saying like you should just go to like a local brewery and just get them to sponsor your podcast. And I'm just like, oh, but come on. All right. Anyways, so what have you been working on lately, Nathan?
Actually, this has been a really busy week for me, hobby-wise. I built up a bunch of Demonettes. I got one of them painted, and I love it. Absolutely love the way she came out. And I got two games of fantasy in, as well as talked to Uncle Mike earlier today and picked up some Strange Aeon stuff for Mr. Wong.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Yeah, no, I've definitely been very active this week with the hobbies as well. I didn't actually post them to the Jaded Gamercast Facebook page. I posted it to my own page. But I posted a bunch of Firestorm Armada ships that I had finished painting. Mm-hmm. And played a game of Firestorm Armada on Friday against Mr. Matt Damon, who still just does not get the game. Like, we played a fairly big game, but it took like 4 hours. He was taking so long between turns. Like, he just still did not grasp the concepts of the game. And I kept telling him what to do. I was just like, no, just do it like this. Just do it like this and you'll be okay. And it was actually, it was a pretty close game. I ended up with quite a bit left on the table and an untouched battleship. And I think by the time he decided to concede, he had one battleship with like 6 hits on it and like 2 frigates left over. So it was pretty finished. But we had a pretty fun time. I'm actually going to play another game, Firestorm Armada against Jason tonight after we're done podcasting here, which is going to be pretty cool. But no, I've been having a lot of fun actually painting up the models and getting into the game and doing it more. And I did get a chance to play this last game with the game cards that are used for Firestorm Armada. I actually did really like it. I won't get into the details because we might end up talking about Firestorm Armada in the next episode or so here with a little bit more detail. But, it was actually quite fun. And, yeah, the other thing is I'm preparing my stuff for Onslaught. You know, I actually talked to Ward yesterday, and Ward confirmed that by talking about his podcast, he did not have people drop out. So I don't know if that screws the curve or what with regard tournaments.
If we make graphs, it's now like a letter V.
It is. Hey, there you go. All right. No, hey, whatever. But anyways, I'm building up my ogres for Onslaught. I decided to do them up. I put my list together today since Army Builder did all the updates. They have a bunch of glitches in it, so it's kind of a pain in the ass. But it is actually pretty cool. I came up with a pretty slick setup for my Tyrant. Did you read that text I sent you?
I did.
Yeah, so it's Giant Breaker for +1 strength. It's the Greedy Fist for +1 strength, a 6+ ward that eats magic weapons and can punch away wizard levels, as well as the Sword of Anti-Heroes, which basically gives me +1 strength and +1 attack for every character who's in a combat that I'm a part of. So essentially my guy is running around potentially strength 8 to strength 10 or higher with like boatloads of attacks. And with everything else that I have on him, because I also ended up giving him an enchanted shield, he's got like a 3+ save and that 6+ ward. So like, he's pretty freaking beefy. But I've got a pretty solid list. I have to pick up, 4 Mournfang for a unit of 4 and a Fire Belly. And, I was putting together my Stonehorn, today, which I actually kind of made me want to bring this into higher learning, which was, you know, how to assemble and put together and kind of plan out these large kits when they're coming out. I mean, back in the day, when there was a large kit for anything, it was a trial. And like seriously a trial.
Yeah.
Because it's pewter. The when the piece is cooled, they would, you know, warp a little bit. So a lot of times they didn't fit together properly. There would be big cracks in the pewter. Things would weigh so damn much that like you would glue it in, you would accelerate it, and then it would just break off from gravity. You know, like as if gravity were a child who walks up and touches your model and the whole thing crumbles. Like that was the way that it was for like old Giants and the Talos and old Carnifexes and
steam
shit.
Tank.
Like that. Steam tanks. Yeah.
Oh, the steam tank was the worst.
You had to fucking pin everything for a large metal model. Nowadays, it's not that big of a deal because they can really do a lot of cool stuff with the plastic kits. And I am referring more to GW than large resin stuff, because I know that you have some comments about that, Nathan. But putting the Stonehorn together was pretty interesting. But I find that kind of what we were talking about a few episodes ago with doing an army up quickly. It seems like with Games Workshop, they're just like, the larger the model, the more fucking baubles it has to have hanging off of it. And the Stonehorn is retarded. Like, the thing's got, like, 12 skulls hanging off of its underbelly. Like, it's braided its hair with skulls all across its crotch and its underbelly. And you're just like, you know what? Like, we just don't need this many skulls. And it even has, like, caveman bones, where it's like a caveman bone underneath a fucking beard or something. I'm just like, this is terrible. So I'm like, I spent so much time just, like, hacking off the stupid bones and, like, trying to, like, trim off as many skulls as I could just because it was so much.
GW has that skull fetish, like, you know, and it doesn't matter what game, because I mean, fuck, if you look at the scenery that they have produced, you have the skull building, you have their realm of battle that has literal puddles of skulls, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? So it does not surprise me at all that the Stonehorn braids its hair with skulls. You know,
I've never thought about that as a puddle of skulls.
Like, that's really what it is. Oh my god, it's raining skulls, and they're pooling in the low-lying areas.
That is a hard rock band name waiting to happen. Hello, E-Town, we are puddle of skulls.
But you know, like, it just, they really, really need to tone down the skulls, but they don't. Like, I really feel like Games Workshop, when they're like, what are you, we need one word to describe both game systems. You know, what is the Games Workshop IP? Skulls. Oh my god, you read my mind.
Everything has skulls in it. Galmaros is a skull hammer. No. I mean, that's very true. But, like, this has got, like, hey, you ever thought about, like, what would make your big giant stone crusher, your Stonehorn model cool? How about a Stonehorn tongue on a hook that you can hang from another hook that hangs from a skull? And I'm just like, oh my god, please just get rid of this shit. Like, we don't need it. It's, like, it's just so unneeded. Like, the model speaks for itself. It doesn't need skulls hanging from its jowls. Like, it's just, But, so anyways, one of the things that I find when I'm putting together a large model, in these days with the plastic kits that Games Workshop is putting out, and I think the people who have put together stuff like the Necrosphinx or the Giant Spider or the New Giant, a lot of those newer plastic kits is kind of what I'm referring to.
Hell, because I really think it started with, like, the Trigon Moloch, because I think that was the first big plastic monster where, you know, Games Workshop just bet the farm and said, we're going to make this ridiculous.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they were all plastic.
Yeah. So it's the one plastic kit. Because really, after that, that's when the Arachnarok came out. That's when, you know, the Tomb King monsters, now the Ogre monsters. So, like I said, it kind of started there. But yeah, you're right. It's just massive plastic kits.
So when you're kind of pulling everything apart, and I think that this is kind of a stupid thing to say, but it really is just like, you know, read the instructions, but kind of take them with a grain of salt. And that's my first tip. Because the instructions will always point you in a specific direction, and it will get you, usually, 95% of the time, to the proper outcome. Sometimes the instructions are wrong, or they're actually misleading. I found that especially when I was putting together a unit of Terminators one time, and it said, oh, you need to use this piece for your rocket launcher guy. So I used that piece. And then I looked at the pieces a little bit closer and I realized, like, that's the wrong fucking torso. Like, they totally put the wrong torso on there. And then you realize that there's a torso made specifically for that fucking model. So I've got one Terminator with a fucking Cyclone launcher. And, like, I had to, like, putty the wire in so that it, like, fit him properly. It didn't look fucking stupid. So, like, I think definitely read the instructions, but do kind of, like, look at the pieces first and look at all of the pieces. Because... really, especially with these new kits that are coming out, I think that a creative person or somebody who likes to do conversions or who likes things to be a little bit more simple, if you just look at every piece in there without trying to think like, okay, where's this supposed to go? You can usually find a few things that stand out, and you kind of look to yourself and you say, you know what, like I can just swap those two saddles. I don't like the way this saddle looks. Mm-hmm. This saddle's really plain because it's meant for two guys, you know, or I really don't like the way that this particular piece looks on it. You know, like start looking around and kind of look at it from that perspective, because I think that even the small details on a large model will actually make you much happier as a gamer, as opposed to trying to have like the carbon copy model as a lot of other people who are going to be putting stuff out there. Now, that's usually not a worry with Games Workshop because they do give you enough stuff. Kind of the next thing that I would say when it comes to the plastic, the big plastic kits, is use plastic glue and not Games Workshop's bullshit plastic glue. I don't even know if they sell that crap anymore. But like, go get yourself some Pro Weld, because it's going to help you blend and brush the mold lines together and the seams together really nicely. But at the same time, don't overuse the Pro Weld, because it will swell up the plastic if it gets in between the details too much. And so what you'll find is when you're brushing it, it looks fine. And then as soon as it dries, if it's been into the details, you'll notice it kind of gets a little puffy and it starts losing that detail. It kind of flattens itself out. So that is something to keep in mind when you're using Pro Weld or any of the really, really runny plastic glues, is to be very careful about how much you're using when you're trying to kind of blend those lines over.
Quick warning on Pro Weld, though.
Don't spill it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am the biggest klutz in the world. I have stopped using Pro Weld because I've knocked the bottle over two or three times. And this stuff, I do not know what chemicals are in it, but it is absolute murder to plastic bits. Like, it's really like the, you know, the freaking Tim Burton Batman when the Joker fell in the vat and just melted. That is what it does. You know, like, I remember the moment I stopped using it was the second time I spilt it. I spilt it all over a squad of stealth suits that I was building, and it completely melted their burst cannons to the point where they looked like they needed Viagra. And they were, because like it even filled in all of the lines, melted it to the point where it looked like a flaccid cock. And that was it. No other details. And I was like, well, I'm going to go back to Games Workshop plastic glue so that I avoid this again.
Oh, man, that's hot. I mean, that is unfortunate. Pro Weld is interesting. I think another thing to mention about Pro Weld is it will strip the paint clean off a model. So do not try to use Pro Weld on a painted model if something breaks off. If you are going to do it, use it very, very sparingly. But I usually say when a plastic model breaks and you were using Pro Weld, use super glue to glue that piece back on. Don't piss around with it, because, it will strip that model bare. If it dribbles down a little bit, it just peels it right off. It's pretty dramatic. Other big thing for me when it comes to large plastic kits is I would say, you know, start every time you look at it, try to think of what are the rules variations for it? And don't commit to any one rules variation, because usually the rules variations for large plastic monsters or even large vehicles is something that is very, very simple to swap in and out with a pin or a magnet. And especially with the way that, and the frequency that rules change now between editions, for Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000, that you are eventually going to find yourself in a position where you're really happy that you're able to swap those out, because now last cannons suck, and so on and so forth. So that would be the big thing for me. I've done very few large resin kits, though, Nathan, so I'll defer to you on this one.
I play Demons, and GW Greater Demons suck terribly. So they're fucking awful.
Coming on the mic a little bit.
They're... Did you say fondle the mic a little bit?
I said suck it like a... That's what you need to do. Just put it on the mic. You got to be right up to it.
That's right. Slap it on my cheek a little bit. So.
Imagine those times when your wife is nagging you and it feels like she's right over your... right in your face, over your shoulder. Like, that's how you need to focus on the mic like it's your wife. You have to get close to it, but you don't really... Okay, I'm going to stop there. Your wife does listen to the show.
Hi, she does.
Go on quickly before this turns south.
Yeah, but before this turns more south.
Yeah, well.
No, but I mean, I use Forge World, and the one thing that I would caution you is if, when you are building a very large Forge World kit, is those bitches don't include instructions. So I mean,
Ooh.
what you really need to do is you need to basically, first of all, wash your resin. So when you do get it, before you even start laying it out and looking at it, go to the sink, soap water, and like a scrubby brush, like an old toothbrush or something, and scrub the shit out of it. Because whatever release agent Forge World uses specifically, I've never built fine cast, so I'm not gonna talk about that. But with Forge World, scrub the ever living shit out of it, because the release agent is like it repels paint, because you can watch,
It
you can
does.
put it, you can put a stroke of paint on, and you can literally watch it just bead off of that part. So I
Yeah, and
mean,
I know that Firestorm Armada models, some of them, they definitely do have, if you get a model with a lot of that release agent on it and a couple of odd batches, every once in a while you will get one that has just way too much of that release agent on it. And not only will it beat up the paint, but it beads up the primer. And that's where you find that it really mucks with the model. I know that when I was priming up John Wong's Solarian fleet, you had said like, "Oh, you better wash those first." And he's like, "Nah, just go prime them." And most of his stuff was fine, but like his one heavy cruiser apparently just had a lot of that releasing agent on it, and it just everything just beaded up on it. Like you could see the resin through the black primer.
So I mean, that's step one. Is always wash your resin stuff, because you can be fine 9 times, and then the 10th model you're going to end up having to strip the primer off and then go and scrub it anyway, so you might as well just take the fucking 5-10 minutes. But then I find, especially with Forge World, because I said they don't include instructions and they have a lot of fiddly bits, is that is when you have to start like basically laying it all out on a table and almost like jigsaw puzzling it, where you're going to see where the pieces are going to fit. And I mean,
Oh, yeah.
for most of the model, this is fine, because I mean, I look at my Bloodthirster, I know the bitch has 2 legs, 2 arms, a torso, a couple wings, a head. Like, that stuff is going to come really easily. But then when you have the extra blades, that's when you have to start dry fitting and looking and really referring to the pictures of the finished model online to figure out where it goes. Beyond that, when you actually get time to start building it, this is a trick that I learned from a friend who's an occasional listener, actually has his own blog. But I won't pump it. But only because I can't remember the URL, because it's a Blogspot URL. So I'm like, I don't know. But one thing that works really, really well is when you are gluing your model together. Obviously, you're going to use super glue. You don't actually need accelerant with this. But when you have big joins, take a big fat glob of green stuff. Put glue on both ends of the join, the green stuff in the middle, and you just mash that in. And you want to mash it so hard that your green stuff is going to start, kind of pussing out the sides. And then you just take an old razor blade, X-Acto knife, and clean it up, because this is doing two things. This is gap filling for you, so you're not going to have to go back and do it after the fact. So it's saving you time there, because again, a lot of times with these big resin kits, you don't get perfect fits. So you're always going to have to fill gaps. This is skipping that step. But the big thing is the green stuff is going to harden, and it's almost exactly like pinning it. Because this is something that he used on GW Pewter models. And I watched his Zoanthrope take a head dive off of a 9-inch tall building, and nothing broke. And I was like, oh, wow, you pinned it. And he said no. And then he told me this trick. So that is something that I would recommend you doing on big resin kits, even if it's just a GW fine cast, like the Hive Tyrant. They turned into fine cast. It is still a very big kit. It still has a lot of pieces. I would personally do that on any sort of major joints.
Right.
Because it's going to help.
Yeah, for sure.
But then obviously, build it like I find with big resin kits like that, you can't just sit in one night and build it, because basically what you're going to do is you're going to build your legs and your torso, and you might even put one of the arms on or two of the arms on, but then you're just going to let all of that green stuff dry before you go on and you continue it, because that's really the only way you're going to keep it from ever sliding or shifting or doing whatever. So my big rule of thumb is you are going to be applying extra weight on a join that you did that day, wait till tomorrow. So for example, my Bloodthirster that that I'm that I built, he's got those two massive wings. So when I built him, I put, you know, I basically put all four of his appendages on his arms and his legs. And then I just let that dry for a day before I went and put the wings on, because the added weight of the wings would have shifted the leg joints.
Yeah. Well, and I think
possibly
that,
wrecked it. So
I think that that's an interesting point. As soon as like super glue accelerant hit the market, and I'm not saying that like, oh, it's something super new. And back in my day, we walked uphill both ways and we didn't have accelerant.
Build the Red Terror without accelerant.
Right, right, right. Exactly. Like, I remember my Talos trying to build it without accelerant. One of the things that people don't really realize is like, yeah, accelerant's great. It cures the outside of the super glue, but everything on the inside is not cured yet.
Yes.
And it can still shift and it can still break because it does not have a proper bond yet. So one of the things that I think people tend to forget about is just the idea of letting the glue cure. And this is the same with ProWeld. It's the same with a lot of the plastic glues is, yes, it will bond. Yes, it will start to get to like a nice putty finish. And even once it's dried on the surface, it's still very malleable. And you do have to actually let it sit and cure for a few hours before you start trying to do any sort of serious work with it. And that's what I mean by like pinning or swapping pieces out or putting like magnets in it and stuff like that. I think that you really do need to let that just sit and cure for at least 6 hours. Like overnight is usually the best thing to do. But like if you were really worried about a big model kit and it seems like stuff is just not sitting the way that it's supposed to, like just let it cure. And you come back and things are going to be solid as a rock. You can go do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you're right. With accelerant, a lot of people have gotten spoiled, and they do forget that the majority of the joint hasn't cured, hasn't dried, and that's why, you know, when you'll just, you know, because fuck, I'm guilty of it when it's just like, oh my god, night before the tournament, I need to build and paint these guys. Whoops.
Oh, I know.
you know, you don't let it happen, and then you know you start painting, or you start even just handling it or putting another piece on, and it falls off, and that's when you can see it, because you can see that the outside is kind of hard and flaky, and you can peel it off, but the inside's still really tacky. So.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are dealing with very large kits or you know, because especially with large kits where you have pieces that weigh a significant amount. Because, I mean, fuck, when I was building my Demonettes, I absolutely did not mind adding stuff onto the non-tack glue because their arms are so small. Like, it's the weight is negligible. But when you've got big wings, when you've got big, heavy arms or heads or, you know, legs, big, heavy joints, that is when, you know, it's better to just do it right and not be fixing it every tournament. Because I know with my Hive Tyrants, the old before I just gave up on pewter entirely, I had two Hive Tyrants for my Tyranid army, and I remember one of them I built very quickly, sort of night before a tournament, painted him up, and he broke every single game. And every game I'd just go in, super glue accelerant, put the joint on, play with them, and it was always constantly breaking because I never gave the glue a good chance to set. And then, you know, midway through my last game, someone knocked him off the table and he shattered into every piece, and I just played him. I just played a base for the entirety of my last game because I was so fed up after four games of fixing him. And that was the last time I used a pewter.
It was like a metaphor.
Yes. you know, but that's really what it is when you are building big kits, do it right and you're not going to have those problems. He's not going to break every time you play him. And that's, yes. You know, so that's the thing. Like I said, personally, I love the green stuff trick. Just get I have two razor blades, one for cleaning mold lines that's always sharp as hell, and one that is like the ugliest, most beat up blade, you know, razor blade in the world, that I use to trim that sort of super glue encrusted green stuff. And that's why I don't want a nice blade with it.
Yep.
But the other good thing that I do is whenever a blade gets dull for my nice knife, I just swap them out.
There you go. Know,
so that way it becomes my green stuff scraping super glue encrusted blade.
Like with toothbrushes and cleaning toilets.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, this one's no good for teeth anymore. Hello, porcelain bowl.
All right, so let's get on into the main topic for today. We were originally going to talk about something else, but as things tend to go in the gaming universe, we get sidetracked, we get derailed, and we end up having to push it back for one reason or another. One of the things that I notice for me is that a lot of times when I sit down for the show and I try to think of like, okay, what's a good topic to talk about? And we do try to rotate. And I mean, I don't know if people notice. I don't even know if people care. But, you know, when you're running a podcast that's a wargaming podcast that is primarily directed towards Games Workshop, you do try to want to spend equal time talking about Warhammer 40,000 and Warhammer Fantasy. Now, usually I don't have a hard time talking about Warhammer Fantasy or coming up with a good topic because it's the newest edition. There's the newest books. There's lots of stuff coming out. And there's usually a lot to talk about in one fashion or another. For Warhammer 40,000, it's the game that I don't play as much anymore. I still get a few games in every once in a while. I'm still very interested in it. I still love reading the books. Like, I just started reading the New Gaunt's Ghost, Salvation's Reach.
So good.
Which is great. Mark, stop putting spoilers in your fucking MSN status updates. But it wasn't really a spoiler. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, fuck that. I am not reading this shit. Sorry, what's that?
Mark is renowned for spoiling shit. Yeah. Anyone that knows Mark has had something that they've never seen yet spoiled.
And not even a little bit spoiled, but like horribly spoiled. Okay, here, everybody. Spoilers if you haven't seen Children of Men. There was this one time when Mark and a buddy of ours, we were walking through the mall and we were talking about, oh yeah, Children of Men just came out on DVD. And this guy said, oh yeah, I totally want to see that. I had heard it's really good. I'm going to go buy it at HMV right away here. And Mark's like, yeah, Amu is crazy. I did not expect him to die at the end. And you're just like, what the fuck, Mark? He just said he hasn't seen it and was going to go buy it. Anyways, Mark's a good guy. But he is a spoiler-crazed person. And as soon as I saw, like, Gaunt's Ghost updates, and again, it wasn't really a spoiler, but I was like, fuck, come on, just stop talking about it. Like, there's a statute of the limitations of a good 3 months before you can legally start talking about the new Gaunt's Ghost book.
Why do you think that I was just like, I'm going to pre-order from Black Library and I'm going to pay like $40 Express UPS shipping so that I can have this read before Mark can spoil it for me?
Well, I was supposed to get it last week for the same reason. I was just like, I'm on the pre-order and then I'm just going to turn off my phone for 3 days and I'm not going to read. But anyways, I'm starting to get into that. So it's some good stuff. But anyways, yada, yada, yada. So anyways, 40K is one of the games that I don't tend to play a ton of. And so when I want to talk about 40K, a lot of times I will turn to the forums for ideas. At the same time, I turn to the forums for stupidity checks.
Isn't that one so easy, though?
It really is, though. Okay, but here's the thing. When I try to go to the forums, I find that there's not a lot of stuff that engages me. I'll look at the titles of the posts that people put on. And in this case, I'm talking about Warseer. But I will look at the titles of the posts that people have put up and like there's nothing to draw you in because like I always look at it thinking, okay, what are 40K players talking about right now? What do they want to know? What do they want to hear? Like what's the big question? And it's funny because the top 20 posts are always rumors for new books. When's the new Imperial Guard Codex coming out? Rumors for new books. When's this book coming out? Wish list for Eldar. And it's just like, I don't know if that speaks to me about just the unrest in Warhammer 40,000 where people are just like, just give us something new, please. Like, we just can't keep doing this. But again, I digress. So I thought what would be fun for today's show is we would kind of go through the forums and just talk about the titles. Now, I know that a few people just turned the podcast off just now, but bear with us. We might actually go in there and have a little bit of conversation around this stuff, and I may read a little bit to you at first. But one of the very first posts in the Warhammer 40,000 discussion on the Warseer port is, I bled for GW. I don't want to read that. It's just, what is it? It's just going to be really bad pictures of a guy who cut himself?
Well, it's either going to be he cut himself, or he's like, he metaphorically bled where he bought something and he feels ripped off. But either way, you're right. I just don't give a shit.
I think you're angling for a bit too much depth.
Oh, no. See, I think I've spent a lot more time trolling forums than you because my job is typically a lot more boring than yours as a rule.
True.
So it's just like, yeah, as an example, how many hours a day do you spend just reading the internet trying to pass time? Because mine is around 6.
Less than an hour.
Oh, yeah. God, no. Like I said, mine is around like 4 to 6 hours a day where it's just like I have fucking no work to do. So I'm just online. So that's why I'm just like, no. People try to be all witty and creative, like they're poets or writers with their forum posts. But yeah, I wouldn't click on that at all. All
right. So let's see exactly what's in this post. So this was I bled for GW. Well, not really, but sort of. Anyway, I just thought I'd share a little tactic. Okay, yeah, it's like a full page and a half. Oh, it's like 2 pages.
If your forum post is over 2,000 words long, ain't nobody gonna read that shit. I mean, most university papers are just like, I need it in 1,500 words, so you're going longer than a fucking term paper.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no one gonna read it.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty entertaining. So, Nathan, that's one for you. So there's two Imperial armor posts, one about Apocalypse, one about other armor, which is no surprise for Warhammer 40,000. And then there's a post saying, when is the new Imperial Guard Codex coming out? This is the one where you can be guaranteed where the first thing the guy's going to do is apologize and then say, like, but I'm just so sick of the guard right now. Oh, I'm just waiting for new guard.
And every reply is going to fall into one of two camps. Flaming him for how balanced the guard book is, or agreeing entirely on how broken the guard book is, because there really is no middle ground. Like, I find that, you know, whenever you talk to people about the guard codex, it's always one of two camps. Like, no, the book is perfect, or no, the book is shit. There's no one saying, the book is okay, it has issues, but it's pretty good.
Well, I think that you're missing a key demographic here when it comes to forum posters, is the people who typically won't reply unless they can be unbelievably ambiguous. So I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of replies in here that are things like, oh, not till next edition, or things along the lines. Just like, you know, you got at least a few more months. And if you're lucky, there's going to be a guy who's going to give you a list of release dates for codexes where he's just like, okay, it's Necrons, then it's Tau, then it's maybe Tyranids, then maybe Space Marines again, and then maybe Blood Angels again, and then maybe Imperial Guard. And then you're just like, wow, thanks for nothing.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is there's like two pages of replies on this. So yeah, okay, we go in there. Yeah, there's the apology. Sorry for posting in the wrong form yet again. Wow, there you go. Perhaps some rumors of what would be expected. And then the very next reply down is not until next edition. There you go. The next reply is I wouldn't expect one for 2 or 3 years at the very least. This will lead to another post about the next edition. Don't worry, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I'm not going to get too far into it. Okay, here's the one I was waiting for. I want one, but only so that I can get an update to my Catachans.
Good lord, people play Catachans?
They do. They do play Catachans. I know that people actually, they stalwartly hold on to their Catachans. Like, they know they, I know, like, Brian Sin plays Catachans, I believe. But, like, they just hold on to them. They'll never get rid of them. Like, I've never seen anyone selling a Catachans army. Because they're just like, first off, nobody wants it. Second off, I got into it because I thought it was cool, and I'm just waiting for the rules to catch up. Like, that's all it is. All
right, I will forgive you if you started a Catachan army before the Cadian plastics came out, but when you had the choice between the really cool sort of urban combat gear of the Cadians and the freaking Neanderthals in the tank tops, why did you go to
Neanderthal? It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger army from
Predator. It's Rambo. We all know it's Rambo. The fact that they even put freaking Sly Marbo. Quick, let's swap two letters, and what do we get?
Oh.
So you know, I've never actually, called Sly.
I've never actually noticed that.
Really?
Well, I just didn't, like, I didn't think about it. I always pictured them as the fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger army from Predator. I never for a second thought that Sly Marbo was basically Rambo.
But wow. He is exactly right.
I just didn't think about it that way.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay, moving on here. Eldar 6th edition wish list thread.
I hate wish lists. I never go God. Into
wish list threads are the most inane pieces of shit ever to be put on the internet when it comes to wargaming. Because it's two things. People posting absolutely over-the-top shit and then quoting some fluff reference. And then people posting saying what a bunch of morons they are because that's so unbalanced and so forth.
No, see, I don't know, because I find with wish lists, it's only ever the players that, like, because I mean, like, when I see Eldar wish list, as someone that A, doesn't play Eldar, and B, thinks wish lists are a waste of time, I don't go in. So I always find they're like mad circle jerks where they're like, oh my God, you're so right, but maybe instead of weapon skill 9, we should tone it down to 8.
Oh God, that makes me so crazy. Wet.
Yeah.
Oh God, don't get me started on warp spiders, dude. That shit gets me hard in a second. Oh, they could be so good if they just change the rules like this. See, but here's the thing. There are pages upon pages of wishlist threads. Usually they don't go that long before everyone kind of peters out, and that's where it is. This is about 3 pages long, and hilariously the guy posts like, it's that time again. Oh, okay, I guess it's that time again for a wishlist thread. Why not? And then basically, yeah.
Not a means. Do I avoid him for a week if it's that time again? Like, is that what it is?
So yeah, then people just start posting crazy stuff, and then people just start posting more what they'd like to see. And then it's usually once you kind of get into the next few pages where people just start breaking stuff down. Usually as soon as you see people quoting other posts, that's when you start getting into the devil's advocate stuff where they're just like, no, here's why that wouldn't work. Here's what you're forgetting.
See, I was going to say that's when society breaks down, because when you have a stupid like a stupid concept that a bunch of people replied to, and then other people start referencing those replies, like I say, you know, that's like 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, but all to stupid. Like, that's like society just breaks down and it just stops being worth listening to. Because I mean, fuck, I lurk on a there's a Demons of Chaos web forum out there, and it's got some really useful information, and I always lurk to get ideas and inspiration, and sometimes it makes me want to paint. There are like 6 active members, you know, so it's very, very small. These guys love Demons of Chaos. They post about everything, so it's just like, if you post something, you will get 3 or 4 up to 6 replies, except for the Demons of Chaos wish list. It's up to 71 pages. And I'm just like, I'm not even going to start reading that. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous, because it's just all 6 of them going around. We're just like, no, but what if we did this? How amazing would that be? And I'm just like,
okay, my pants are off now. Let's talk about Slaanesh. What do you want for Slaanesh?
Oh, yeah, more tits.
That is good. Is good. 6 tits. 6. 6 tits and a crab claw with a fleshlight in it. Oh god. Okay, so moving on. Forge World's new Crassus armored assault transport. What to put in it? Your cock, obviously. Moving on. What I do like about Tyranids. This one's just for you, Nathan. What do you think's gonna be in this thread? More than 3 pages. Get ready.
Ooh. Honestly, hey, look, as a Tyranid player, I can still say that the model range is one of the best looking in Games Workshop, and a good painted Tyranid army is one of the most impressive sights you'll see on the board. That's about it. As long as we're not talking rules, there's a lot of positives.
I love how this post actually starts out with a disclaimer. Disclaimer, I don't think the Tyranids are in good shape right now. You don't have to use this thread to convince me or anyone else that they suck. At least he's doing his due diligence to shut down the forum bullshit.
Yes, but the trolls before they get started.
I don't know. Again, like, what do you really feel you're going to get out of this, right? Like, why post it? Like, what makes you feel like, let's just post what we like about this army. Like, we could have a whole podcast where we talk about what we like about the Wood Elves. We wouldn't get into much tactics, you know? Like, it's just like, but what's the point of a thread like that? Like, it just, Okay, so there's another one about tournaments. There's weird stuff that people... But here was one that I thought was very strange. Because, of course, there's the Necron Rumors summary, which is hundreds of thousands of pages. People just love talking about rumors and possible... See, what I love about rumors is when people start posting their lists built off rumors.
Yes, that is the funny... Or when people are like, well, you know, I've already played like several games based off the rumors, and I can honestly say that this army is bullshit and over the top. We assume all of the old point costs and all of these new rumored changes, I mean, they'll never lose. I've actually seen a lot of that because, you know, for me, again, I was an avid Dark Eldar player. I was so excited and so bored at work when all the Dark Eldar rumors were up that I actually read, I think, all like 111 pages or whatever, because I literally had nothing else to do. And yeah, you would not believe how many people are just like, so I've been playing games using the rumors. And you're like, what?
Why? What? That's so weird.
What's wrong with you?
I don't even know how you could get through an entire game using the rumors. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much. Like, how do you play it when you don't know the points costs?
You just make it all up and then talk about how fucking stupid and broken it is.
Oh, God. Okay, so I'm moving down the list here a little bit. Now every once in a while you get a post that is kind of just non-descriptive of like any, like, you just don't really know where the person's going with it. Conversions and forgotten models in modern games. What do you think that's about, Nathan?
Because
I glassed right over this one. Like, I was just like, why the fuck do I care? Like, what, this isn't a Warhammer 40,000 topic. Like, come on, guys. Like, seriously.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know because you're right. It's so generic.
It's just
Because
like,
it's
what
just
do
like,
you.
it could be that you know he converts stuff and then forgets what it does when he's playing games. In which case, I just have to call him a moron. Or it could be that he was going through his bits box and found like fucking Rogue Trader era land speeder. And he's
Right.
like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like every I understand that to a certain extent because I do tend to do a lot of conversions or I used to do a lot of conversions for stuff. And when I did them, it was always kind of done in a way that like it kind of fit this little role that was never actually modeled on Warhammer 40,000 models. I did most of my conversions in Warhammer 40,000. For a lot of cases, you do just get to a point after a few years where that conversion is just not viable anymore. They've just changed that, or what they had done for a very long period of time in Warhammer 40,000 was anything that they didn't have modeled, they just removed from the rules. And you were like, wait, what the fuck? They were just like, we don't have it modeled. We're just going to take it out of the rules. We don't want people playing with it. And then there were times when it was just like, yeah, there were these huge gaps in armies like the ogres, and I had my converted Rhinox riders, which now are just pretty much just going to get shelved. Like, I'm just never going to come back to them ever again. Yeah, no, it's the more I talked about it, the
Like I
more I
said,
looked at it, I
I
thought.
my recommendation was just rip them off and put them on the Mournfang sized bases and just, you know, and
But then
that's
I
just.
have to order bases through the order point, and you know I refuse to do that.
No. It's funny though because with my Great Unclean one for my Forge World model, they actually don't include a fantasy base with it. So I did
Oh
go and
yeah, you were
I
talking about
ordered.
this earlier.
I ordered only a base, and it was the funniest thing in the world because I'm like, one, $5 base because they're going to spend more UPSing this to me.
Yeah, by shipping it through the store.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was just like, shipping, you know, it's like shipping to home, $25. I'm like, I'd like it to go to your store. They're like, $0. So, like I said, I literally bought a single $5 Screaming Bell base.
And okay, we're getting sidetracked here. But this is what's so fucking stupid about the order point and about their whole system of just like, ship it to the store. And I mean, we know people who work in the store and they say like, it's good. Like that goes to our cash totals and that helps us to hit targets and stuff like that. And that's great. But like, it's stupid. Like, I should not be able to go in and order, a $5 base and you guys don't have to pay shipping for it. Like you said, it's gonna cost them more to UPS that ship to you. They probably just throw it in with their normal weekly shipment. But come on, like it doesn't make sense. But anyways, I'm not gonna get sidetracked. So okay, this post here, I'm currently trying to get back into the game after several years of Exodus. I left the active gaming aspect of the hobby at the beginning of fourth edition since I had to move to a different part of the country. I still bought the rule books and the codices. Burp. And now I have to get back into the game. Scotch does that, okay? I've been playing since Rogue Trader. The problem of fate. Oh my god, this is a page long. I'm not reading it. Fuck that
No, for
shit.
sure. So
But yeah, it's just him saying it's been a while. How do I make it work?
for those of you that are like bored now, realize we do this every day, like every week to try to come up with something interesting. So it's just like we just hope you hit the gold mine, you know, because I remember we were both just doing this when we stumbled across the EZC rules and that spawned
Yes.
a podcast.
And that spawned the entire podcast where I was just like, this is, oh my God, Nathan.
We
And then
have
yeah,
to
I
do this.
just it turned into the podcast explosion. But yes, absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to another one here. Power list equals bad guys. Yes, it's true. That is one of the conversations that recurs over and over and over again in any wargaming thread. Does
Yes.
power gaming equal bad guy? And you're going to find both people on both sides complaining, and it will be the exact same conversation about who thinks what is fun and why they think it's fun and why they think it's cool or why they think it's a douchebag and why they think you're a bucket of tools and dicks.
Yes. No, and you're right. The every single argument, like I remember back in the day, what was it, the Hitler principle? Like there was one of the internet rules that basically said that on any online discussion, the longer it goes, the likelihood that Hitler or Nazis would be discussed goes to 100. But in wargaming, we never get to Hitler and Nazis because every discussion going long enough will eventually get to this point of, you know, power gamers are dicks or fluff bunnies are losers that don't know how to play.
Right,
And
and it's
that's
like
really.
it's like choosing immortality as a superpower. It skyrockets your chances of eventually being trapped or immobilized to 100%. which means you'll be buried alive for the rest of your immortality life. There's a 100% chance that this will happen. Stuck in an earthquake, caught under a building, guess what? You're immortal. You're going to be trapped there forever. You know, they're still digging up Ground Zero. No, I'm just kidding. But really, like, it's just, it is definitely one of those conversations that it's just, it perpetuates everything. It's like comic books and women. And the, like, you and I had this conversation earlier in the week where a woman who is the proprietor of a very prominent comic book website for like news and things of that nature posted a well put article about women being not being the target audience for comic books and how women female characters are ruined and things like that. And you know what? Like, she was on for a lot of her points. She was off for a lot of her points, but it's understandable that her points were the way that they were. But like, the comments thread is like 1,000 posts long, and it's,
dude, when I read it, it was 2,000. I'm like, I ain't even going to read one of these. Yeah. Well,
it was retarded how many posts there are on there, because there's just like, there's women, you know, who make this person out as their posts to be like a goddess. And then there's people who just demonize her, saying like, what are you, stupid? Like, not every comic book's going to be for you. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of rape, so I don't read Neonomicon. Like, it's just, you know, like, that's one of those things. Did I say that last week too?
Well, you said you said that when we were talking.
I think we were having a conversation. But yes, I'm not a big fan of rape, so I don't like Neonomicon. So I stopped reading it after issue two. But like, what I think you had said it well, and I think a bunch of other people had posted it there, where it's just like, so wait, out of 52 comics of the DC relaunch, two of them you didn't feel were aimed at you properly? Boo fucking who? But I understand why this would upset you, because, you know, they made Starfire into an amnesiac slut.
Yes. Well, no. Like,
but she's an alien, so it's okay.
Yeah, totally. I mean, aliens aren't people.
Why the fuck?
You know, like I said, I was just like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I read it, and I was just like, yeah, you're right. She's on some points, she's off on some points. But basically, it is the exact same, you know, video game argument that I've already read 10 times online from other people, you know? So I'm just like, eh? You know, maybe it's because you're late to the party. Maybe it's because I've read it so many times that I just can't care. But yeah, you know, like,
well, I can't care either.
Yeah, maybe it's because I'm dead inside. That's why.
Well, I mean, I feel bad to an extent, but like, when it comes down to this stuff, like powerless equals bad guys, like that whole conversation, like, I just shrug my shoulders, because it's like, seriously, this is never going to end. This is one of those conversations that will never have a resolution. There will never be a definite answer. And no matter how eloquent anybody talks about it, somebody's always going to be there, like Tim the Troll, to just fucking like rip shit apart and, you know, aim at the weak points, because there's no right answer. And that's all it comes down to.
Troll too. Don't just call out Tim. My wife Terry's is a troll too.
Well, I was going to say Terry the Troll next, because I was like, Tim and Terry the Trolls, like, it's so good. But anyways,
like, that's the thing. And the weirdest thing about this discussion, okay? The weirdest thing is that in 90% of all cases, these two types of players don't intermingle anywhere but the internet.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, the fluff bunnies, you know, they'll play in their house, they'll play in the basement, they'll play in the store, they'll do all these things. The power gamers, they just want to go to big tournaments. You know, on occasion, like I said, this is that 10% crossover. You'll find like the fluff bunnies or whatever that like.
But that's the exact problem. Is it is that little 1-2% overlap of like, this one time we both showed up at the same tournament and I hated it. And yeah. I think that there's so many people who base it on this idea of, there was this one time, or there were these few times where I ran into just these hardcore power gamers. But yeah, you're right. They move off into their little cliques, and they play with each other, and they find the gaming community that fits them best. And that's what's so good about this gaming community, is that anybody can game, and they all kind of form their own little groups, you know. Yeah. And those people are not always going to mesh together and find that common ground. And they're going to break off and find new groups, you know, like, it's just, it's always going to be that way until you kind of settle into it. That's why I never really take part in these conversations, because I'm always kind of in the middle where I'm just like, I play with both. I don't care. You know, like, if you're a power gamer, bring it. I'm not going to harp on you for being a power gamer. You know, you're the fluff gamer. Great. I'm all for that. Let's do that. But like, don't bitch at me when you lose.
Yeah, well, no, and the weird thing is a lot of fluff players that know that they're fluff players still choose to go to tournaments, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's 4 games in a day, or it's 5 or 6 or 7 games in a weekend, and you typically can't get that many games in. But even they'll go to it, and they're just like, ah, you know what? I hope I don't pull one of the power gamers game one, because I'll lose, and I know I'll lose. But eventually, by like game 3 or game 4, I'm finally in the seed of people that are like me.
Right.
And they have a great time, but they know not to take those first couple games seriously, because with random draw, anyone can play anyone, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, honestly, as a guy that typically does very well at tournaments, I always feel bad. Like with game one, I always go in very sort of with a lot of trepidation, because obviously I want to win that game as hard as I can to sort of jump in the standings and get really good draws and be there. But at the same time, I know that if I get a fluff guy, I don't want to ruin his day or weekend. So it's always just like game one is always that like cross your fingers. It's just like, come on, just.
See, I don't even care that much. Like I said, I'm always kind of in the middle ground. Like I'm always kind of in that place where, you know, like I'll not take units because I just don't like the way they look. You know, like I'm that kind of person. Like I'll be the kind of person who's going to play to a specific theme, at least to an extent. And that's usually going to show through in most of my lists, but I still try to make them as competitive as possible. So I'm kind of in that middle ground. So yeah, but I do agree with you. The first game of the day is really important. But one of the interesting things I think about tournaments and kind of leading into, was something that was actually on the Warhammer board here, was they talked about, or the post was, has 8th edition lost its luster? And oh my God, there's a new one of these every month. There's somebody who's just like, oh, so excited, now it sucks. And then the first reply is the guy saying, oh, dude, it sucked from the beginning. I saw it when I read it. So, no, it's never lost its luster for me. Always. Guaranteed.
Oh, well, yeah. And I mean, in that vein, you'll either get that thread or the thread of, so how many people are still playing 7th edition like me? Oh, so many of those. Like it really is. Once a week, you will get one of those two posts, and you're just like, for fuck's sakes, people, really?
But I get that people are bored, but like, I'm just like, but what do you want? Like, what are you planning to get out of this? Are you posting this in the hopes of relighting that fire and getting into 8th edition, or just reaffirming the fact that you're a jaded fuck like me and Nathan?
Yeah,
like
and
it
that's
just
really all it is they are looking for people that are going to support their worldview, because if you truly enjoy 8th edition like I do, I look at that post and I'm just like, I'm not even going to bother, because I don't want to troll people. So I'm just going to, you know, it's like Texas. I'm going to let them be crazy by themselves.
Yes.
I'm not going to go over into Texas and try to make them less crazy. No, you know, y'all can do your thing over there. And I'm okay with that. And that's really how I treat those people. So the only people that jump into those threads are the people that feel the exact same way. Or like you said, the guys were just like, 8th edition sucked forever. I read it and I knew it would suck. So welcome, you know, welcome to my opinion. You know,
welcome to reality, idiot.
Yeah, welcome to reality. You know, but that's the only people that go into those threads, because they're just, you know, because anyone that's, you know, right doesn't bother.
Well, and it's just, I feel like it's very strange, because there will always be people who kind of go into there and they'll say, hey, you know what? I'm still having fun with it. And a lot of people really like it here in my community. Yeah. And like, I don't know. Like, I think all it comes down to is it is similar to that power gamer versus fluff gamer argument, is this idea that the game's losing its luster. Well, the game's always going to lose its luster, man. That's why they come out with new editions. That's why they come out with new books. That's why they come out with new models.
And that's exactly the thing, because I mean, I know for me with fantasy-wise, the last year of 7th edition, I couldn't care less about the game.
Exactly.
You know, I really didn't care for it. I, you know, and so for me, all I did was play 40K. And now with 5th edition being on its last legs, or rumor has it, I mean, rumor has a new edition coming out within the next year, I'm kind of in the same place where I'm just like, you know what, I played a lot of 5th edition, I can appreciate the edition, I still feel to this day that it is the best 40K that I've played, which has been 3rd, 4th, and 5th edition. I think it's the strongest of the three. But I'm at the point where I'm just like, no, I'm just done. And that's okay. I'm enjoying the fuck out of fantasy. I love 8th edition. I'm going to keep playing it. And I know when 6th edition comes out, I'm probably going to repaint a Tyranid army. Because, look, it's an abusive spouse. She always takes me back. She always takes me back.
You just get her so angry sometimes.
I know. Look, you know, I know it's my fault. And she stopped drinking. She said she's doing good.
She said she's going to fix her problems. She swore to me that we would have more date nights.
You know, exactly. But I mean, like, I know for a fact 6th edition is going to come out. It's going to turn all of 40K on its head. It's going to change the metagame. It's going to change the way the game is played. And I'm more than likely going to do another Tyranid army.
Yeah.
From the ground up with it. And I'm going to start enjoying the fuck out of that, because that's just what happens, is you're right. The editions get stale. No matter how many new codexes you release, the game mechanics haven't changed in so many years. So if you right. are like me, where you've played countless tournaments, because like I said, last year, I think I played almost 50 tournament games.
Right.
You know? So it's just like, you get to the point where it's just like, but nothing is really changing.
Well, it's the byproduct of the metagame, right? Like it's this shared community, and we've talked about it a lot of times, but through forums, through community, through all of these different things, after a few years, it's inevitable that the metagame takes over. And yes. that's what everybody plays according to. And it starts becoming this kind of strange thing. I think why people may have looked at 8th edition and kind of looking at it now and saying like, oh, well, it's lost its luster. Well, you know, it's almost been a year since 8th edition Warhammer came out. And after a year is when you are starting to see the metagame mm-hmm. really impress itself upon the community and that kind of community intelligence. It's going to happen. You know, getting beat up over it is not necessarily the best way to deal with it. I think it's just stay in the game for what you feel is, you know, got you into it to begin with, whether it was fun or just playing with people or having a good time. Okay, so let's move on to the stupidity check for this week. Nathan, what do you got for us? You said you had a good one.
Oh, I do. Going back to the teat that gives Games Workshop.
Surprise! Oh my god! When was the last time?
I know, right? So last weekend was Games Day UK, and Games Day UK has historically been the best of the best, right? It's always been the biggest Games Day because, I mean, that's basically GW home turf, and they always throw out all the stops. So, I mean, this is where they've released new armies. Like when they announced the Tau, that was at a Games Day UK. Dark Eldar, the blinds were lifted at Games Day UK, where they're just like, no, check it out. You can see, you know, different pages of the codexes. You can talk to fucking Jess Goodwin
right.
and Phil Kelly. You can see the models. Absolute, you know, GW always pulls out all the fucking stops. And that's kind of why, you know, for me, I never really want to go to any of the other Games Days, because UK has always been the biggest, and it's the only one where Games Workshop will ever wow you.
Right. Except it's like Comic-Cons.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well,
when you compare it to San Diego Comic-Con, they all look like shit.
And that is exactly the point. So it's just like, I could go to a Comic-Con or I could go to San Diego Comic-Con. So you know what? I'm gonna save up and I'm eventually going to go there. Except this last year, because Games Workshop, with that whole new, like, we want to be Apple, we're not going to show anything. Games Workshop themselves showed only Dreadfleet. So, I mean, we know Necrons are 1 to 2 months out of the way. I was expecting massive Necron previews. I truly was. You know, I was expecting them to show some of the new models, talk to the sculptors, talk to Matt Ward, who wrote the rules, you know, all of these things. But instead, like I said, all they did is they're just like, play Dreadfleet. We have boats. And that was it, you know. And so when you were reading all the coverage, when you're looking at everything that was happening, you know, you saw Forge World pulling out all the stops, you know, where they were showing off some of the new stuff that, you know, it's just like, surprise, this is the first time you've seen this. You know, Black Library, the same thing. They were having fucking panels where they're talking about future titles and the directions they want to take things, like the Horus Heresy, you know. And it's just like, these subsidiaries of Games Workshop were the ones that absolutely stole the show, because Games Workshop basically decided that if it wasn't coming out next week, literally next week, we're not going to mention it, because we don't
want people to not
buy Dreadfleet. Because if people are excited about Necrons, they won't buy Man of War, but not Man of War. You know, so it's just like, for me, that's just a huge failed stupidity check, because really, if I had bought a ticket to Games Day UK, because I mean, like, fuck, last year I wanted to. I really did, because I knew the Dark Eldar were going to get released. I knew that was going to be the unveiling. I honestly was willing to shell out the, like, fucking $2,000 to fly to the UK, stay in a hotel, and do Games Day. Yeah. And I fucking hate Games Day here.
Yeah.
You know, so just like I was willing to do that. And if I had done that this year, or fuck, even if I lived in the UK and I bought a ticket, I would have felt ripped off. So for me, it's a huge failed stupidity check, because even Apple always unveils new fucking iPhones or whatever at the Apple convention and stuff. So it's just like you're trying to copy these guys, but you're missing the boat. So it's just like your biggest opportunity to wow people fucking failed.
Well, I got people showing up here, I think, right now. So we're gonna cut the podcast to the end here. I am gonna make a quick note. I think you finished Salvation's Reach, right?
Yes.
I am on my way to finishing it. One of the things that Nathan and I have been wanting to do for a while is actually do a bonus episode where we pretty much just talk about Black Library, the fluff, and primarily God's Ghosts. So by the time I
You're
finish
going to be
Dreadfleet,
spoiler
it is
heavy.
going to be exceptionally spoiler heavy. We do have another bonus episode coming up as well, where we sit down with Kyle and talk about Lord of the Rings and War of the Ring. Whoa.
Well, we don't, because when you sent me the text, you're like, hey, do you want to come over and we'll do a bonus episode on War of the Ring? I believe my exact response was, fuck no.
Exactly. So we do have some bonus episodes coming up, so stay tuned. But that is Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.